Rabbi, so before we begin, I'd just like to mention that tonight's learning is Le'ilu Nishmas Baruch David Ben Rav Nachum Mordechai. Neshama's Yortzeit is today. Neshama should have an Aliyah. I'd like to just discuss a little bit about Hoshana Rabbah. You know, in your schus, I did a lot of research and I was myself shocked about some of the things that I saw, and I'd like to share it with you. The first one is the Matan Moshe that brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down Chazal. Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu, Ani Yochid Bo'ilami, Ata Yochid Bo'ilamecha. I am individual, I am by myself in my world, and Avram Avinu was Avram Ivri, he went off on his own. So therefore, for that reason, therefore, Etein Lecha Yoim Chof Aleph Tishrei. Therefore, I'm giving you Hoshana Rabbah. So, interesting medrash that because of the fact that Avraham Avinu was an individual, he gave him matona. The matona is Hoshana Rabbah, and Chazal say of the end of that Maimer Chazal is Shuhu Ki Yoim HaKippurim. Hoshana Rabbah is like Yom Kippur. So Hoshana Rabbah carries a lot of weight to it. I'd like to discuss a little bit more about what is the weight of Hoshana Rabbah and why is it that we've missed it. A lot of us, at least myself, for many years, have missed out on what Hoshana Rabbah is really supposed to be. So there's a very famous Shloah Kodesh. The Shloah Kodesh brings a pasuk in Amos. The pasuk says, Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira. With the pasuk Aryeh Shoag says the Shloah, the Rosh Tevis of the word Aryeh is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Hoshana Rabbah. So that's what we have. Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira, that this is the time to be a trepidation, a fear, and Hoshana Rabbah is right at the end of that. So everyone's familiar with what leads up. Elul is, you know, is a build up for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but at the end is Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is brought down as being itself a Yom Adin. There's a Zohar that's also somewhat famous, which is the Zohar says that a person on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, if he goes out and looks, you know, when he's in the moonlight, if he does not see a shadow, if he does not have a shadow, then he knows that he's not going to make it through the year. As I state in Zohar, the night of Hoshana Rabbah, if you go out and you don't have a shadow, so then a person knows. Now, first of all, we don't have really that moonlight anywhere because we've got all this electricity around, so it's not so relevant. But the Sefer Chassidim brings a story, a mice of someone that actually went out and saw he had no shadow, and him and his loved ones fasted kama tanesim. It says they fasted numerous different tanesim, and he managed to live a few more years. But Hoshana Rabbah night is a night when a person has, you know, there's a lot on the line here, it seems like. And the Rama brings down that a person should not do this. It's better, first of all, we don't know exactly to understand these types of litmus tests. And in general, says the Rama, it's better to be tamim im Hashem Elokecha than not to be derish, the asidois. But the point is that there's a lot going on the night of Hoshana Rabbah. So to try to understand it a little bit, the Sefer HaManik says that Hoshana Rabbah is Yom HaDin. It's the chisum, it's the culmination, it is the end. We call it the giving over of the ptakim, the piskatava we're all looking for. But this is really, the night of Hoshana Rabbah is also Yom HaDin. There's a Shiboyle Haleket. The Shiboyle Haleket HaKotzer brings that there's a minig on the night of Hoshana Rabbah to say Zochreinu L'chaim Melech Chofetz B'chaim, like we do on the Yom Noraim. We're not knowing that way, but the point I'm trying to bring out is that this night is a night that has tremendous amount of significance. Well, the day of Hoshana Rabbah, we often speak about the Leil Hoshana Rabbah, and I think that part of that is because we mentioned the tale that we're talking about is at night. There's something about the night of Hoshana Rabbah in particular that seems to have importance to it. So the Mice, the Minigur of Shlomo Zalman was to the entire night of Hoshana Rabbah, he would be Asuk in Tefillah and in Tehillim. And he was not happy if people would disturb him. Even late in his life, Rav Shlomo Zalman would stay up or get up and say Tehillim. And he often davened Vasikin. And that's become a very big minhag here in Eretz Yisrael, where there's thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people that do Tikkun Leil Hashana Rabbah, and they daven Vasikin at the Koisel. So what is this idea of Hashana Rabbah? There's a story about the Chassam Sofer in the last year of his life, that the Chassam Sofer was quoted as saying, the last year of his life, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Avarti B'Shalom, I managed to get through. But Hashana Rabbah, I didn't manage. And Hashana Rabbah, that year, Chassam Sofer passed away. Which means that he felt like somehow, he knew on the night of Hashana Rabbah, that he wasn't going to make it. So there's something very, very serious happening here. Hashana Rabbah night. I'd like to try to figure it out, because people are oblivious. There's concerts going on other places, and people are just walking around as if nothing's happening. And we're talking about this is such an important night with, you know, so much that's on the line. So what's happening? The Rukas HaBoisim says Derech Melitza about Hashana Rabbah night. He says that Haman said Yeshnam Echad Mefuzor Mefurot. Haman said there's a people that they're scattered. Mefuzor is they're scattered. Says the Rukas HaBoisim, they're scatterbrained, which means that they're not focused. Hashana Rabbah, where are you? What's going on? It's Yesh Tamecha Nefuzar. It's because their mind is not it's not clear, and they're missing out on a big night, a very big night. The Dubna Magid gives the following mashal to try to like describe what happens on the night of Hashana Rabbah. When I read this mashal, so it really gave me pause. I stopped. He says the mashal as follows. There was a country, two countries, neighboring countries, and they were fighting over like a border city. There was a border city they were fighting over. It's actually happening as we speak, probably in many places, but one more famous. And they're fighting, and there's the constantly like there's struggles, and sometimes it ends up being in the hands of one country, and sometimes in the hands of the other country, and they're fighting back and forth, and bloodshed, and people dying, and it's mamish. It was terrible. It was going on forever. They said, okay, that's it. This is the mashal of the Dubna Magid. That's it. We're going to have a showdown. And we're going to end this once and for all. You're going to bring the strongest person from the country on the right. We're going to bring the strongest person from the country on the left. They're going to have a match, a duel. And whoever wins the duel, so his country gets that city and finished. And we're not arguing anymore. They agreed. They had a heskim. They had this big duel that happened. They dug a big pit. And the winner has to throw the other person in the pit. That's the way you win. When you get the other person into the pit, then you won the duel. So all the countries are coming. It's a big thing, obviously, because everything, you know, it's all what's going to happen with this city. And then there's no more fighting. So everyone's there. The king of the one country and the king of the other country. And they have their two strongest warriors. And one of the kings is very confident. His warrior is very, very skilled and very powerful. And they're doing this duel, and he seems to be losing. And he's slowly being backed closer and closer to the pit. And as he's standing there on the edge of the pit, and he's about to fall in, see, he grabs his opponent and he throws him in the pit. And he wins. And his country is so excited, and they're making parties, and he's the hero, and they carry him on their shoulders, and they go back and they have a big party. And the king gets up to speak, and he says, just have one question for you. He said, you know, I was so nervous. You were in this battle, and you were losing, and you were getting close. You were like right at the edge, and you were about to fall in. Why'd you do that? Like, why did you let me? I was petrified. Why didn't you just like knock him off in the first second? So the warrior answers him. He says, listen, there was a tactic here. You understand that he's also a skilled warrior. I needed to get him to a place where his guard was down, where he wasn't at his full strength. So I let him feel like he's beating me. And at the last second, I threw him in the pit. I got him. Says the Dubna Magid, the Yetzihara allows us, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you start with L, you're all pumped, and you're doing things, and you're growing, and you're steiging. He lets it happen. He like, because he's got the last moment where he throws us in the pit. It's Hashana Rabbah. Where is everybody? It's Hashana Rabbah. It's the big night. It's the end. Aryeh Shog, Milo Yira. This is it. Hashana Rabbah is the end of the Aryeh. And where are people? They're not here. Because the Yetzer Hara's got them. That's a tactic he's got. It's a pella. It's a dubna magid. So there's a lot that's being missed out on over here, and appears to be like almost as if it's like an accident, or that's the Yetzer Hara's trick. However, there's a medrash I want to share with you, which it's almost like they're hiding Hoshana Rabbah. It's being hidden. The Sefer Chassidim brings down that there's people that they went into the Beis HaKfaris. These like unbelievable things. They went into the Beis HaKfaris and they listened and they heard the voices of the neshamos that were there, and they said to each other, "Let's go daven so that the people that are alive shouldn't, shouldn't have a gzera on Hoshana Rabbah." So the neshamos were going out in order to daven to save our lives. And then the next day they heard them saying, "You know, we can't go because too many neshamas, and then the chayim are going to be margish that something's going on. I guess that you get a feeling when there's neshamas around, and we don't want them to know, because if they know, then the lashon that it says is then we will be they'll be megala to the am, and they'll tell the people. We don't want people to know. So we have to daven here in the kvarim. We'll daven in the kvarim, and we'll daven that everything should go okay." It seems like I don't know if they didn't want that the people should know that there are neshamas around, or they didn't want people to know that it's like a big night that we're all davening. So we got to keep it quiet. The neshamas are keeping it quiet. It sounds like Hoshana Rabbah is like almost like a secret. And Rav Shlomo Zalman speaks about why it's not written anywhere, this idea of Hoshana Rabbah being the night of Din. It's not in the Torah. It's not even in the Gemara. This Hoshana Rabbah that it's that everything is hanging on this night, it's found in the Zohar. Why first in the Zohar? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that people back in the day, if we would inform them about how severe the night is, it would disrupt their Simchas Yom Tov, because they'll be so petrified of the fact that Hoshana Rabbah is so big. So therefore, it would disrupt Zman Simchaseinu. Sukkos is noch als. It's still Zman Simchaseinu, and in order not to do anything to tamper with that, so therefore we couldn't tell them. People that know Haim Adrega knew themselves. They were able to balance the fact that it's Yom Adin, it's Zman Simchaseinu, it's Gilu Biroda, which means you're happy at the same time you're scared. They're able to balance that. But the simple people, we didn't let them know. We kind of like hid that from them. Apparently, Simchas Yom Tov is that important, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And therefore, we didn't want them to know. That's the way Rosh Shlomo Zalman understands. And we see the power of what Hoshana Rabbah meant to certain people. Because it's brought down in the Rekeach and Hilchas Sukkos, he says that Chazal, in the time when they were Makadesh, the Chodesh through Re'iyah, which means that we didn't have a calendar back in the day, and they would just it was based on the Edim, but the Beis Din had the ability to kind of manipulate the calendar, and it says the Rekeach, Beis Din would be Nishtadel, which means they would try hard to make sure that Hoshana Rabbah did not fall out on Shabbos. For what reason? Because if Hoshana Rabbah fell out on Shabbos, then people wouldn't be able to cry. You're not allowed to cry on Shabbos. And Hoshana Rabbah was a time of Bechiah. And in order not to have a conflict between the Bechiah and Shabbos, they made sure Hoshana Rabbah wouldn't fall out on Shabbos. You hear what's happening? Rosh Hashanah can fall out on Shabbos, even though you're not going to blow the shofar. Sukkos can fall out on Shabbos, even though the first day of Shabbos, you're not going to shake lulav. Hoshana Rabbah can't fall out on Shabbos. Why? Because you have to be able to cry. So that's how serious Hoshana, the inyan of the Bechiah, or the intensity of Hoshana Rabbah is. And because the previous generation, they weren't able to deal, so therefore, we didn't tell them. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, But in our generation, where people anyway aren't crying on Hoshana Rabbah, it's sad reality, but it's a reality. People aren't crying. So we could tell them it's Yom HaDin. It's not going to shtir the Simchas Yom Tov. It's Yom HaDin, and then they still seem to be okay with it. So therefore, the Zohar felt it was already able to be Megala to everyone. It's Yom HaDin. Before the Zohar came around, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai came, they said, we can't do it. Why not? Because it's going to shtir Simchas Yom Tov. But the Zohar already realized that people weren't holding on to Madriga. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. I'd like to suggest perhaps a little bit of a different approach to why it is that it doesn't appear anywhere, the Yom HaDin of Hoshana Rabbah, and how it relates to us. Yeah. Shlomo Kluger brings the following interesting observation. Hoshana Rabbah night, people stay up the entire night. It's Tikkun Leil Hoshana Rabbah. Not everyone, but a lot of people stay up the entire night. It's known to stay up the entire night of Hoshana Rabbah. And it's Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah, says Reb Shlomo Kluger, people are noyig to stay up the entire day. You don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So, Hoshana Rabbah, it seems to be, is about the night. And Rosh Hashanah seems to be about the day. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, the way it goes is as follows. He says, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin on the Averis a person does during the day. Melo, you can't sleep during the day because you're sleeping during your din. And Hoshana Rabbah is a Yom HaDin on the Averis that a person does at night. Melo, a person should not sleep at night. This night, a person shouldn't be sleeping. How could you sleep? That's the din of Hoshana Rabbah. Now, perhaps we could suggest that that's the reason why the moment that we speak about of you could know whether you're going to make it or not on Hoshana Rabbah is at night. The tale of the Levana, we said, is the night. Why is it the night? Because the din is at night on Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is a din at night. Lemaisa, if you think about the way it works, at least in, you know, pre-electricity, the society, people during the day were with other people. During the day is when you interact with lots of people. When it's night, every person goes home to their own place. The averis a person does at night, in general, he does as an individual. The averis he does during the day, he does out in the open, where it's more obvious, it's more people can see it. It's more together with other people, as opposed to the averis a person does at night, he does by himself. Thinking perhaps this is the pshat in the medrash. The medrash we started with says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Ani yechidi ba'olami, ato yechidi ba'olamecha. I'm giving you Hoshana Rabbah. What does Ani Yechidi v'ato Yechidi have to do with Hoshana Rabbah? I think the pshat is Hoshana Rabbah is Yom HaDin as an individual. It's not where everyone's like, you know, where all, like, shuls are packed and everyone's doing it together. Hoshana Rabbah is a person, as an individual, is doing his own Cheshbon HaNefesh. And he's got to look at himself. Rosh Hashanah, there's like so much, momentum, because everyone's doing it. Everyone comes to shul on the high holy days. Everybody. And how few people are actually doing something about Hoshana Rabbah. Because a person has to do it based on his own feeling. Has to be real. It's Yechidi. Avraham Avinu, no one's doing it. He did it all on his own. No one, he had no one else in the world. That's Hoshana Rabbah night. It's for Yechidim. Ato Yechidi, I'm giving you Hoshana Rabbah. It's for the Yechidim. Meila, we're not going to, you know, publicize it, because then it's going to become just, you know, one of those public events. Lemaisa nowadays, it could be it's not such a problem publicizing, because even if we talk about it, we could talk about it and talk about it, but only people that are really feeling it are doing it. And that's what Hoshana Rabbah is. That's this night. I think that's also perhaps why it is that the we said from the Sefer Hasidim, the Meisim didn't want the Chaim to know. Like, you know, you can't tell the Am. Because the Yishmu Achayim, and they'll tell the Am. What does the Am mean? What do you mean to tell the Am? It means that there's other people out there that aren't aware of what's happening. And if they're not tuned in, they're going to miss it. And Hoshana Rabbah is for the people that are tuned in. So we're here, Hoshana Rabbah, learning all of these things made a very big impact on me. I knew Hoshana Rabbah is a big night, but hearing, you know, so much about it. What is there to do about Hoshana Rabbah? So now that we're here, what is the inyan of the Hoshana Rabbah? The Medrash in Tehillim says the following thing. The Malachim see Klal Yisrael on Hoshana Rabbah. And once it reaches Hoshana Rabbah and they take the Aravos, the Arvei Nochal in their hands, says the Malachim, they're Smechim, and they say, Yisrael is Menatzeach. Nitzchu Yisrael Didon Notzach, which means we did it. We made it. It's the Aravah. I want to just take a few short minutes and a little bit to try to connect to what my Rebbe said beforehand, which is as follows. We know that the inyan of Sukkos is the inyan of Achdus. Sukkos is all about the concept of Kol Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkah Achas. We're all supposed to be in one Sukkah. Ki Yitz B'neini B'Sukkah B'Yoyim Ra is also referring to this concept of Achdus, because the Pasuk in Tehillim says Titz B'neim B'Sukkah Miriv L'Shoynes, which means save them or protect them in the Sukkah from the Riv, the conflict of L'Shoynes. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's a somewhat famous Vart, says the word Sukkah Samach Vav Chaf Hei. So those four letters are all using four different parts of the mouth. There are four different different letters in the Torah. So they all use five different components. There is the teeth, the lips, the top of the roof of the mouth, the throat, and the tongue. Says the Vilna Gaon, if a person makes any of the sounds of the Aleph Beis, all of them will fall into one of these five categories. The word sukkah, the samach, uses the teeth. You make a samach with using your teeth, sukkah. The vav uses the lips. The chaf uses the top of the mouth, the roof of the mouth. And the hey uses the goyron, uses the throat. Says the Vilna Gaon, you use four of those, moitzes hadibor. You don't use the lashon. Titz b'neim misukkah meriv l'shoynos, which means we don't use the Lashon. The Sukkah is supposed to protect us from the Lashon. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Now, there's a kasha on this Gaon. Because if you look in the Torah, everywhere that it's written the word Sukkah, it's always written Chaser. It's written Samach Chaf Hei. It's never written Samach Vav Chaf Hei. In the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, it's not the Cheshek Shloima, it's... Cheshek Shloima has a whole marocha about the fact that that sukkah. Why is sukkah spelled samach vav chaf hei? It's everywhere in Tanakh. It's spelled samach chaf hei. So the Gaon is saying titz meim sukkah meiruv l'shoynes, that you don't use the loshoin, but it's always written without a vav. So where is that vav? So the Cheshek Shloima there has a marocha about there's a sukkah that we're using temporarily. There's the sukkah lasid lavoi. Our sukkah is chaser. The sukkah of the sukkahs arishal of Yasin will be male with the vav. But what's the vav? The vav is the svasayim, is the lips. The vav is the svasayim. Now the chinuch says that aside for the arba meaning being keneged, the four different types of people, the arba meaning are keneged the different parts of the human body, and the lips are the arava. Arava is in the shape of a lip. It's the svasayim. Maybe that's why we have two aravas. So what I'd like to suggest is as follows. Our sukkah is chaser because something to do with our aravas. There's something that has to happen with the arava, with the lips. The lips are the shaymim on the mouth. And if we're not careful about what we're saying, our sukkah is not complete. We're not protected. Batitz b'neim b'sukkah miriv l'shaynes means we're being protected from fighting, but we're not, because we're not careful about what we're saying. The way that we're speaking is inappropriate. The lips, the arava is kineged the lips. That's why there's a halacha unique to arava, which is the shape of the arava has to be kind of oval, can't be round. It says an arava which is tziftzifa, the Mishnah in Sukkah says, is puzzle, because it's like an open mouth. It's round. When your mouth is open, so the point is that the person has his mouth running, saying the wrong thing. So then it's sukkah's chaser. The aravas is when we kind of fix what we're saying. We take five aravas. Why do we take five? I don't know. But there's five moitzes adibu. And that's the shlemus that we're looking for. We're trying to make that tikkun. The reason why, if a person learns Torah, so it's like he's in a sukkah, is perhaps because what a person's supposed to do, this dibur is supposed to be in Torah. We call them arvei nochal. They're called arvei nochal, which means the aravas that grow by the water. What does that mean, they grow by the water? Because there's a remez here to ein mayim el Torah. We're supposed to have, our aravas are supposed to be grown by water. The Torah tells us, v'dibarta bam, you should be speaking in Torah, v'lo b'dvar matelim. You shouldn't be talking about other things. If a person fills his mouth with Torah, then he doesn't have any more problem. A person who's learning Torah is like he's in the sukkah because he's protected meiriv l'shinus, because he's using his mouth properly. That's really, I believe, the tikkun that we're trying to get on Hashanah Rabbah, is to try to be mesaken the distance that we have, that we've created through our dibur from each other. This the problem of the chet of Lashon Hara, which is the period of Klal Yisrael. We speak about Achdus and Sukkos. We speak about coming together. But Lemaisa, if we're going to speak disparagingly about one another, we're not going to be careful about the way we talk. We're not going to have a filter. Our Sfasayim are not going to be Shoymer Arpeh. Then we're still coming up short. The Hashanah Rabbah is a commitment that we're going to be careful about what we say, and then we'll be zoicha that next year we will sit in the sukkah, the full sukkah, the sukkah's erishal of Yosin, from here of Yaminu Amen.